I'm here to talk to you about our healthcare worker initiative that we've had going on for the past 4 years, and it's a partnership between our Adult Immunization Coalition and our State Health Department Immunization Program. How it works is that we recruit participants through professional organizations of various types of healthcare providers and clinicians. We have our registered partners, what we call them, we have them complete a baseline survey. Those are what we call our participants who actually submit to the survey. We also, once you've submitted to the survey, you're allowed to apply for a $1,000 grant, and you can use that grant any way that you like. Registered partners also receive a toolkit and resources and incentives like hand sanitizer, buttons, and I guess that has come to an end since someone decided that bumper stickers and coffee mugs cause they influence your vaccine purchases. So no more giveaways for our folks. We'll just be giving educational materials now. We also update our registered partners with a monthly newsletter letting them know things that are happening with regard to healthcare immunizations and also just immunizations in general during the flu season. At the end of the season, we ask our registered partners to submit to a wrap-up survey, and they let us know what their experiences have been during the flu season, their challenges, their experiences, how many individuals they vaccinated. And then we also have a wrap-up meeting and an award ceremony where we give awards to the highest performing healthcare facilities. So this is the cover of our toolkit. And we call it a toolkit. It's actually a supplement to all the wonderful resources that are already available on healthcare worker vaccinations. So MassMed has a toolkit that they produced many years ago that we use still, and there are other materials that have come out that we reference in our toolkit. So we don't feel like we should reinvent the wheel. We just try to make the materials specific to Maryland. So we have our Maryland regulations, standing orders, vaccine information statements that, you know, get updated periodically. We also offer vaccine administration records and templates to documents that will be helpful in people's initiatives in their facilities. These are other materials. This is our pretty little newsletter. I just put that in there. We release that every month, and it has new information and reminders that we provide to our registered partners. Another resource is that we have a web page, and all the materials that we send to our registered partners in hard copy, it can also be accessed through the DHMH website. So the way that we recruit our registered partners, we seek supporting partners, and they're the member organizations of healthcare providers, and they're professional associations like AAP. Our local health departments also help out. We have the VFC program that we recruit providers through, and this year we got a letter from our Secretary of Health, and he sent letters to all of the hospitals encouraging them to participate in our initiative. So these are numbers of registered partners over the past 4 years of the initiative. Our first year starting out, we got 49 people to sign on to the initiative. And when they signed on, they agreed to submit to the baseline survey, to launch a campaign in their facility, and then to report to us at the end of the season what their experiences had been and how many folks they vaccinated. In 2006, we're not really sure why we dropped down by four, and then the following year we went up pretty significantly, and then the following year, this year, we have 81 folks signed on, or 81 facilities signed on to our initiative, and you'll see that the majority of them are long-term care facilities, although we have a pretty good representation from acute care hospitals, local health departments, and this year we started reaching out to the colleges and universities, and we got a handful of them on board. Those who have medical programs, nursing programs and other programs. So these are questions from our baseline survey. We ask, how will you promote flu vaccinations to your employees and volunteers? And I just highlighted in yellow some of the things that I thought were significant, and posters. And I don't know if posters have increased because there are more posters out there promoting healthcare worker vaccinations, or if it's cooler now to have them displayed more prominently throughout your facility, but there has been an increase in the use of posters, and also a pretty significant increase in the use of incentives to encourage healthcare workers to be vaccinated. When we asked how will you promote flu vaccinations to your employees and volunteers, this year we changed our question a little because we found that people, as awareness had increased and more people were coming on board, they were using different methods to promote flu vaccinations to their workers. So educational materials this year were very popular, and also encouragement by management, which was something that has been increasing over the past few years. When we asked how will your employees and volunteers be expected to pay for vaccine, more than 90% of facilities have provided a vaccine free of charge. A handful have provided them at cost or at a discounted rate. One reported that they wouldn't be providing that, and that actually was one of the colleges. And then other would be that they would refer them to community vaccinators like Walmart or the local pharmacy. So we ask also, does your facility have standing orders? In our first year of doing this, we didn't ask that question, but you'll notice that in 06, 07, 67% had standing orders, 66% in 07, 08, and 59% this year. Now, it's important to note that our denominator changes every year. I mean, the same folks who signed on to the initiative last year may not sign on this year, and we may have more people signed on this year. So it's really difficult to track. So take all of this information with a teensy little grain of salt, because it's really been a challenge to try to get the same people to submit to the survey every single year. But it does show that there is, you know, more than half of healthcare facilities are using some type of standing order. When we asked if an employee refuses to be vaccinated, would they ask them to sign a declination, you'll notice that a pretty dramatic increase has happened over the past few years. The first year we didn't ask that question, but the second year we asked it was at 62%, and over the past couple of years it's been in the mid to high 80s. So it's been, we don't have a law requiring that, but we certainly have a lot of awareness around declination forms. And we do have individual facilities who have tried to make it a requirement in their facilities. So when we ask, where were your employees vaccinated? And this is a question that we ask at the wrap-up survey. 100% in 2005 and then in last year, and we don't know what's happened this year because we're in the process of collecting that data. But 100%, for the most part, have provided them online. And respondents to this question could select all that applied. And so some of them have provided on-site, but some of their healthcare employees have opted to get their vaccinations from a private provider or other sources in the community. This one is, what barriers did folks experience when trying to vaccinate their healthcare workers? And I've taken the liberty to add my own editorial comment here in the yellow section. Oh my goodness, that employee knowledge, the knowledge about the vaccine, how important the vaccine is, that's still a barrier in 75% of the facilities that responded. And so it's pretty scary. But other barriers that folks experienced were the lack of funding, staffing, time constraints, some of the things that we're used to. But this number was really striking to me, and it's been the highest number, the highest percentage reported every year that we've done this, this initiative. Again, my own editorial comments. This year we decided that we'd ask, which vaccines do you routinely promote to your employees? And, you know, we see that a really impressive number for hepatitis B and obviously for flu, but Tdap and varicella and other very important vaccinations aren't being promoted to healthcare workers, and that has been the impetus for us to expand this initiative in future years. So when we look at the number of healthcare workers who are vaccinated under this initiative, and this is only, we can only get this number from the folks who actually responded to the wrap-up survey. So although we had in our first year 49 people to respond to sign on as registered partners, only 22 actually completed their wrap-up survey. So these numbers are based on the folks who completed the wrap-up survey. And so we have the number of folks who were vaccinated as reported by the wrap-up survey respondents, and then the range for those facilities that they reported of having the percentage of healthcare workers vaccinated. And so in 05-06, the facilities that responded had a 55% to 98% uptake rate amongst their healthcare workers. In 06 and 07, 8,800 were vaccinated under our initiative through these 27 facilities. In 07-08, 13,265. So we have a more precise number just because we've been a little more vigilant about the way that we collect our data, and we're getting better every year. Some of the challenges and limitations to our survey, our initiative, are that there's an absence of a standard definition of healthcare worker. Some people just say it's, you know, doctors and nurses, and some people say the dietary staff, some folks say the janitors. In Maryland, we say anybody who breathes the same air with the patients, and so it's just been really difficult to pin that down and be able to say who's a healthcare worker. And for that reason, the facilities haven't been able to accurately stratify who's been vaccinated and who hasn't. So they may have a flu clinic, and whoever walks in the door who happens to work there, whether you work in the billing office or in the OR, you're going to be vaccinated. And they don't keep numbers of, they don't keep track of who is actually a healthcare worker or who isn't. The low response rate to the wrap-up survey, I mean, we try everything that we can to get them, short of giving them money, we do whatever we can to get them to submit to this wrap-up survey because it's so critical to our data collection, but it's been a really, it's been a challenge, but we think that we're going to do better. We have some new mechanisms in place. Reporting errors. So anyone who's ever conducted a study or a survey, you know, you ask for a very specific question and you give an example and I say, you know, how many people did you vaccinate? Please give the number. And they'll say approximately 500 or they'll say 32%. So, and then when you call them to try to get the exact information that you're looking for, you discover that they didn't collect it the way that you wanted them to collect it, and therefore you're not going to be able to use it the way that you were planning to use it. And so people using approximations versus exact numbers and percentages versus an actual number. Another limitation is that we don't have a lot of staff in our project. We're all basically volunteers on loan from our organization, so our coalition runs this, and we have folks who have other responsibilities at the state who work on this project, and so in order for us to call people and track them down or to try to hold their hand through this process, it's really labor-intensive, and we're just not able to do that, but we also recognize that it's important to have that information. There's changes in the denominator from year to year, which I alluded to earlier, that we have. You know, we may have 1,000 people in our subset one year, and then the next year there may be 10,000. So it's just been difficult for us to be able to track the same group of people every year because different folks sign on and different people report at the end. And the same happens from survey to survey. So if we start out with 81 people completing the baseline and we wind up with only 22 people submitting to the wrap-up, that's certainly a challenge there. So this is just to show you just how much of a challenge we have by trying to get people to submit to that wrap-up survey. So at the beginning we had, you know, 05, 06, we had 49 people to submit to the baseline, and then only 22 reported at the end. And this year, hopefully we'll do better, but last year only about a third of the people who submitted to the baseline actually completed the wrap-up survey. And this is just a look at the response rate by facility type to the wrap-up survey, and you know, because these numbers are so small, I'm not sure they say a whole lot, but in 2005-2006 we had 22 facilities to respond, and the majority of them were long-term care facilities, so hooray to the long-term care facilities, but local health departments have done a fair job as well as acute care hospitals. And so some of the conclusions, these are the profiles. This is the profile of a winning facility. Those facilities that have been highest performing that we've experienced, they offer free vaccinations on site. They have standing orders. They ask their refusers to sign a declination. They have more than three methods for promoting vaccination. So where some just may put a poster up, these folks may have sent flyers, have paycheck stuffers, you know, have a kickoff celebration. Those that have had more than two methods of administering vaccinations, so they may have a mobile card and they also may have an employee clinic scheduled or any variation of ways to administer the vaccine. But we've noticed that people who are facilities that have more than two ways of administering the vaccinations tend to have higher rates. If they apply for a grant, that shows that they're really interested. So when you submit to the survey, you're eligible to apply for this $1,000 grant from our health, from our coalition, and $1,000 doesn't seem like a lot of money, but it is. I mean, some folks use that money to buy gas, $50 gas cards to use as incentives, or have a party, or you know, buy a, you know, an iPod or something and give it away. So it has proven to, incentives have proven to be very effective in getting healthcare workers to be vaccinated. And so we found that the folks who have applied for the grant have performed better than some of the others who haven't, and then offering incentives. So for next year, we plan to expand our initiative from just being the healthcare worker influenza initiative to the healthcare worker immunization initiative. We also plan to request periodic submission of data from our participants rather than waiting until the end. We feel like that will keep them, you know, aware of, to make them more cognizant of that they have to report this data at the end of the wrap, at the end of the season, and not just, you know, try to scramble around and find some numbers to submit at the end. So hopefully if we stay in closer contact with them. We also want to develop a data collection instrument or a system to help them to collect data more accurately. And then finally, we want to continue to expand our initiative to colleges and universities, because we have received a pretty enthusiastic response this year by the few that have participated. They've been really involved. So just want to acknowledge the Maryland Department of Health and Mental Hygiene Center for Immunization, who is our partner in this. We have a healthcare workers initiative planning committee, and then all the registered partners and supporting partners. Thank you.